Today is the 12th.
7-12-11. No free Slurpee today.
All right. Let's start in verse. Well, we studied verse 14. We started on 15 in Luke 7.
Where are we?
We're in 14. He came and touched the bear, and the bear stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. We started to study he that was dead, and that's a word that's it's necros. We studied. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We're going to see how that word necros is used.
Just so I don't forget, are we going to talk about the rise?
What? We did.
We already did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It means cause to rise from the dead.
Okay.
All right. Ephesians 5. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Vain words. Empty. Without purpose. Futile. They don't meet test of truth. So you don't bring every thought into captivity, therefore you don't bring every word into captivity. So much of your life is spent in vain words, vain jangling. But the problem is that you do it without thinking anything's wrong with it. It's just what everybody does. Vain jangling. Why? Why would you do that? When you know by doing so you're resurrecting the evil one from his deadly head wound. What's wrong with bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? What's wrong with casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Why is it so difficult?
Because it kills immediate gratification. I like that at times.
Well, it's abject rebellion is what it is. Vain words. Somebody must have a response to that. Gary, you have a response.
Yeah, I'm responding right now. I want vain jangling. It has to do with the essence of the life, where you see life really coming from. And a lot of people get life from vain jangling. Backbiting, evil thoughts, whatever, it feeds the beast, and the beast wants to be fed.
Yeah. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you know that Jesus Christ is in you, if you know that you know that you know, then how can you continue in vain jangling, in vain words, empty, futile?
It seems like you'll continue until you see the death of it. See that.
Well, again, here we go.
Charge.
You remember, God cannot occupy where you are. Jesus Christ's humility is so great that where you are, he takes the lowest seat. So when there's vain jangling, vain words, and he takes the lowest seat. Now, if you hear what that means, and you continue doing it without repentance, then rebellion is just massive. So you have to be in a position, if you see the vain jangling, if you see it's empty, if you see it's without purpose, and you know that it's empty and futile and vain, and you continue doing it because you're waiting for God to show you that it's death, then something is wrong with the equation. The words haven't penetrated so that there's repentance. You haven't brought fruit necessary for repentance. It's again, do I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There has to be the preaching of the cross that produces repentance. If it doesn't produce repentance, then there's only rebellion. Let me read it again. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedient. Be not ye their partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness. It says you were sometimes darkness. You were the definition of darkness.
And even the light that was in you was darkness.
That's right. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, that's not talking about your secret sex life. It's talking about what the subject of this is, vain words. Now, vain words can take two directions. Then they can be vain words of glory or redemption to satisfy the molten images, or they can be vain words of brass condemning you all the time so because you haven't forgiven yourself. But they're still all vain jangling, vain words. And so your mind is completely consumed with glory, self-redemption, or judgment, instead of being empty as a vessel for the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah, it's like the only alternative to that up here is talking about giving of thanks. It's like giving of thanks is the opposite, you know. You're embracing everything is from God.
What about where it's about be hot or be cold? It's like...
Why you...
you either push it all the way or... I mean, this is a knife-edge issue here, where because you mentally understand these words, you can say, oh, I'm vain jangling, I better stop that. Well,
no, you don't say, I better stop that. You say, Father, forgive me.
All right, you say that.
Then it's his business. You don't try to circumcise yourself. You simply say, Father, forgive me. You bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
Right.
You don't say, then I'm going to stop it, because that brings this you take it back then.
That's your academic nature.
Well, it's just more vain jangling. Yeah. Again, the reason is, for every one of these issues, is you are addicted to self. It doesn't matter whether you're addicted to self in glory or addicted to self in judgment. You're addicted to self. As long as you're addicted to self, that's all you can produce is vain words. You don't say, I'm going to stop the vain words. You say, I see it's sin. I'm crucifying the Son of God afresh. Father, forgive me. It's his business. But your business is repentance. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Oh, but I just can't help myself. I just continually do it. That's crap. You continually do it because you love yourself. You're addicted to yourself. That's why there's addiction in the world, to show us how addicted to self we are. You're
yeah,
doing
the,
it.
When you say addicted to self, it's there's a purpose or cause in that addiction, and it's
called a fall.
And you think, if I take this pill, I will have some life because I'm bored with what I got now. It's not any fun. I need some life, so I'll do whatever the things are that give you that false sense of having life.
That's what you do when you're addicted to self.
Yeah, that's self-addiction.
And so instead of waiting on God so that you will know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, when there is a position where you think something is wrong or something needs to be done, you are saying to the Father, the God has forsaken me, therefore I have to lean to my own arm of understanding.
I have to do something.
Instead of waiting on God. The rarest thing in the universe is waiting on God. But it's so simple. It's so easy to know the view. I mean, if you don't know the futility and emptiness of your own thoughts and feelings by now, when will you? What has it produced? How has that worked out for you, as I always say?
Well, even Abraham, the father of faith, he waited, he thought, finally said, I got to do something.
No. He just said, I don't like this anymore. Moved on. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Invited Hagar to his attempt, didn't he?
Well,
we got to get this program.
Well, but we don't use his rebellion to justify ours.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Oh.
I'm not doing that.
Did you see me do it?
Yes.
What's wild is you can take both the glory and the
judgment,
condemnation, and mix them together to back yourself up. You know, it's like, I deserve a break. Plus, I hate myself, so I'm going to just, you know,
yeah,
kill, you know, cause all kinds of damage. So
it's called the Christopher syndrome. I hate myself, and so I'm, but I have all these thoughts, so I'm just going to go veg out. I'm just going to be a slug for a couple of years.
Slug for Jesus.
What would Jesus do? Nothing.
Slugs for Jesus.
I can imagine that being a bumper sticker.
Where did the slug go?
All right. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. You get rid of darkness by light. He is the light. That his light is revealed only in your abject repentance. And then waiting on him. In everything.
I'm thinking it's like it's positional in the sense of waiting should be the most exciting thing to do, as opposed to waiting being the most boring thing that can be done. In waiting,
Yeah, remember we had a particular person here early on who, he's waiting on God. Yeah, but he's waiting on God with the mind of a Gentile. That doesn't produce anything. But dung. All right, let's get the rest of it, huh? Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then, that you see then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The only way you can walk circumspectly is by walking in repentance and emptiness. And exhorting one another daily while it is still called today. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now that word dead is nekros. You're spiritually dead. All right, let's look at some more. Yeah, Philippians.
That kid that he...
That's a perfect example.
He's the example of us.
Amen.
You know, and Jesus says, awake, get up, and he delivered him to his mother, like the church or something.
Amen,
like
to the New Jerusalem.
I can see the early church fathers looking at that and going like, that's exactly what that's talking about.
Amen.
You know? It's like, that's why that happened. You know?
Amen. That's a perfect example. All right, Philippians 3. Philippians is right after Ephesians. General Electric Power Company. Shut up, Josiah. Josiah's making fun of me again. Put General Electric Power Company in your notes. No, she's not going to do it. She never does anything.
It's already in the notes several times, I'm sure.
You got this small print Bible.
All right. General Electric Power Company. Philippians 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And that's everything. Even knowledge of the Bible, even knowledge of Revelation. Everything. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Because the mystery of God is you need nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Understand? All right, now watch. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. But the first recognition is, I am dead. I am sin. I don't do sin. I am an imposter that has invented myself and added, every time I saw something I liked, I added it to my person and try to subtract anything I didn't like, and I just became this glob of stuff stolen from other people. Even your thoughts and your ideas were stolen from other people, for there's nothing new under the sun. And you think you've made it yours. And you're worse than any horror movies. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. All right, go to Colossians chapter 2. Or next page, General Electric Power Company. I'm going to quit saying that. I'm never going to say that again. And I'm never going to make another vow.
Me neither. Just like you,
old. Now you made me forget where we're going.
Colossians 2.
Verse 6. As you have therefore received Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, and after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Dead, dead, dead. Necros. Go to Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. You are dead. And that includes all of your mind. All your mind can do is produce dead crap. That's why all tables are full of vomit, so there's no place clean. Because everybody's just regurgitating what they heard from somebody else. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It means how that we that are dead to ourself live any longer in self with anything about you. Amen? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And it's not that should, isn't it, what you ought to do. It's what is the, if that is the natural effect, the fruit of the tree. If repentance is real. For we have been planted together in the, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. he that is dead is freed from self in all dimensions, thoughts, emotions, imaginations. They're gone unless you resurrect them. And the minute you resurrect them, then you can't just resurrect a little piece of the evil one. You resurrect the whole damn thing. Oh, I'm just using my talents for Jesus. Well, then you're a fool. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, or by the means of him, is what it says. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, unto self, but alive unto God by the means of Jesus Christ our Lord. He's our only life. He's our only self. One more verse, Romans 8. Starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the likeness, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I mean, that's all the scriptures are about, is you are dead. And you died with him at the cross. You were raised from the dead at the same time Christ was. How can you wallow in self anymore? How can you return putting on the Babylonian garment? Oh, I'm going to figure this out. Why not wait on him? And him alone. Now this, as John said, this young man was raised from the dead. It's the first time that Christ did it in front of his disciples. And they knew that they knew. Therein is the perfect example of what he's been talking about. This isn't a light matter. It isn't an optional thing. How can you continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Let repentance be instantaneous and continual. And therein is life and peace and joy. Amen? Anybody have anything else?
Thinking about this time years ago, you were sitting whittling on something, and you know, I said, "What are you whittling?" And he said, "I don't know." it was like in the middle of the Nazarite vow or some kind of thing we were doing. It was like, you know, it was like one of those Elijah things or Jeremiah or whoever, was like doing something, acting out something, you know, and it had a major effect on me. Because I still remember that. I was like, that's the thing that I don't want to do. I want to know what's going on. You know, and but we're called to wait and without knowing what's happening. That's what faith is.
There is no option. There is no in between. It's either faith or sin. It's faith or sin. Vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. Bride, whore. No in between. There's no neutral ground. What?
Does that mean there's no zero?
No neutral ground. Well, of course, zero is something man invented. So we can manipulate.
If you wait around long enough, the city will just come and give you water to water your garden with, without effort. A miracle, a municipal miracle.
All right, take it, big guy.